this one in the city of Chalcis on the island of Euboea in 446-445 BC, right after the 30 years peace had been concluded. Chalcis had rebelled right after Megara had rebelled from Athens, and we have a very detailed and almost complete inscription of the laws, various provisions imposed on Chalcis once the city was recaptured. And let me give you an idea of the flavor of what these decrees must have been like. It opens with a statement, this is a copy that comes from Athens, resolved by the boule in Demos, that is by the council and people of Athens. Antiochus held the prytany, that is, he was the man in charge of that one-tenth of the boule holding office in that period. Drachamides presided. He was presiding over the assembly. Diognitus made the motion. This is the man who actually moved the motion in the assembly. And the oath was taken as follows by the Athenian boule and the dikas, that is, by the council and by the jurors. And it goes on and tells about a number of the provisions that are necessary. And then it states, the oath shall be administered by an embassy which is to come from Chalcis, together with the oath commissioners. As regards the Athenians, they shall inscribe the names of those who took the oath, that everyone who takes the oath will be the responsibility of the generals. The Chalcidians shall take the following oath. I shall not rebel against the people of the Athenians, either by artifice or by device, of any kind, either by word or by deed. Nor shall I follow anyone in rebellion, and if anyone does rebel, I shall denounce him to the Athenians. I shall pay the tribute to the Athenians, which I persuade them to assess, a very nice way of putting what's going to happen to them. And as an ally, I shall be the best and truest possible. I shall assist the people of the Athenians. I shall obey the people of the Athenians. The oath shall be taken by the Chalcidian adults, all without exception. Whoever does not take the oath is to be deprived of citizen rights, that's atamia in Greek, and his property shall be confiscated, and Olympian Zeus shall receive the tithe consecrated from his property. The oath shall be administered by an embassy of the Athenians, and it goes on with specific details on the oath itself. Decrees like this are completely inconsistent with notions of autonomy and freedom in the Greek world. And we have a number of such decrees that have come down to us on stone. And the argument that is often made is, well, the initial stages of this type of arrangement, while harsh, in time, within a generation, was accepted by the majority of the people of, say, Chalcis or any other state, because what went with oaths like this was a restructuring of the government. The government became a democracy, modeled after Athens. The propertied classes undoubtedly shouldered a fair amount of the payment of the tribute. And it is argued that generally the population was in favor of Athenian rule because of all of its economic benefits, because it brought democratic rule to their city. On the other hand, there are indications that this is a rather simplified view. In addition to these types of provisions, many of the decrees indicate that the Athenians sent out officials, episkopoi, where we get the word episcopal, overseers, who repeatedly came into the allied cities to inspect them, that there are garrison commanders and mercenary garrisons stationed in these cities, that there are Athenian officials actually present, that litigation between allied citizens and Athenian citizens was now all transferred to Athens. That is, any kind of case that involved an Athenian citizen now went to Athens to be tried by a popular court, which was seen as a considerable burden. That in judicial and administrative matters, Athens interfered repeatedly in the lives of these citizens of other cities. And that hits at a notion that is difficult for us to understand, but for most Greeks, the notion that one lived under the ancestral constitution, the patrios politeia, whatever it be, whether it be oligarchic, timocratic, aristocratic, democratic, that the notion of living free under one's own laws was more important, perhaps, than the type of government. And in the rebellions that broke out during the Peloponnesian War, there are numerous instances that seem to point out that this emotion was much stronger than the notion that the lower classes simply wanted democracy and were willing to take it as one of the gifts of Athens, however, with the proviso that they obeyed Athens. We will see this at the revolt of Mytilene in 428-427 BC. The lower classes threaten to revolt because they feel the upper classes haven't been sharing the grain with them. The city is under siege from Athens, and it's only when they demand an equal sharing of the food that the upper classes panic and cut a deal with Athens. There is not a popular revolt that turns the city over to the Athenians.